Talking about tax policy this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I know I do. We've got just the most fabulous guest to do that with each of us this afternoon. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I got Tom Paulsiewicz with me in the guest co-host chair, and we've got a fantastic new guest to bring on with us. His name is Indy Duttagupta. He is the Doris Duke Distinguished Fellow at Georgetown University, formerly a House Ways and Means Committee staffer, has worked for the Center for American Progress and the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, and he just published two papers that you can find at the Roosevelt Institute on the care economy and tax policy. Indy, thank you so much for making time and coming to talk about what I call Donald Trump's tariff terror that is going to tax the hell out of the middle class and working people, especially right here in Wisconsin. I heard commentary today on, I believe it was Wisconsin Public Radio, saying that a state like Wisconsin is going to be hit especially hard by Donald Trump's tariff policies. Can you help us understand why we're particularly vulnerable here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, look, Wisconsin, well, first of all, Maggie and Tom, as well, it's great to be here with you all talking about these issues and what it means for regular people, because that's really what matters here. And you think about a state like Wisconsin and, you know, it's not just a sort of stereotype. The reality is there's a lot of agriculture and a lot of dairy agriculture, manufacturing, construction, and these are industries that are highly dependent on both selling our goods elsewhere and inputs into making things that come from abroad. Because over the last few decades, we've created a very sort of internationally interdependent economy. So folks in Wisconsin will absolutely feel things like job loss in the local communities, higher prices. I've heard from folks who farm in dairy, for example, and say with the deportation too, which, is a real risk here in undermining the economy, that they won't be able to produce milk and cheese.
Yeah, it's just shocking the scope of impacts that we are anticipating here in Wisconsin. And Indy, I wanted to ask you this. I do not understand how we can function as an economy, how regular people can live in a state that is not existential economic fear when we have a stock market that is up and down like a yo-yo based upon our fearless leaders' moods. One day tariffs, yes. Next day tariffs, no. Market goes up and down. It all seems to read, again, basically Trump's moods. He criticizes the heck out of the Federal Reserve Chair, Jerome Powell, right? Market goes down. Next day, he gets reined in a little bit. Maybe he softens that, but market goes back up. This is not the way things are supposed to be. And the uncertainty about tariffs is going to make it very hard for businesses here in Wisconsin to decide whether to hire more people, whether to expand, whether to continue to produce what they're producing, whether to stockpile inputs needed in their supply chain. Can we continue like this? Is this workable?
No, this is absolutely undermining the basic living standards of Americans going forward. So on the one hand, we're feeling this anxiety. And some people, say, for example, who are near retirement, are really in a tough position and may have to accept just lower incomes during retirement because of their investments, which were thought to be relatively safe in U.S. based companies, no longer being so safe. And then on the other hand, you've got even small businesses who might depend on partners in Canada or partners in Mexico. And, you know, there's a lot we can do to strengthen U.S. trade policy, but probably putting someone with such unilateral sort of power at the helm of it isn't a great idea for anyone. And in the long run, people need some predictability. How do you build a business, like say you're just, you know, someone working on their own, selling things online on Etsy or something? Well, you know, maybe you were buying let's say you're buying pieces of metal from China or somewhere. Is it essential that the US also make that? I mean, I think the other thing that folks don't understand is we export a lot of things to the rest of the world, including services. So
services, yeah.
The University of Wisconsin-Madison is a great example, right? So education is a major export of the United States of America. And we are taking one of our greatest economic strengths, and UW-Madison is just one example. There's others in Wisconsin. But we're taking one of our greatest economic strengths here, and we're undermining it. We're making it hostile for people to come to, from other countries especially, to do important work like cancer research. It's completely wild. I couldn't imagine a better set of arguments for not concentrating so much power in one president, in any president.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the other thing I've been thinking about is, you know, I work with a bunch of small business owners, and the uncertainty of what's happening in the economy is holding it. It's really causing people to basically be paralyzed when it comes to making money decisions. So investing in new plants, investing in new equipment, hiring people, all sorts of things. I just find there's this constant waiting going on right now. So there's the hard dollar cost of tariffs and everything else, but there's this soft thing that's causing the economy just to slow. And I don't see anything coming out of the Trump administration even recognizing it or having a plan to do something about it. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, Tom, well, first of all, that's exactly right. It's a rational behavior for small businesses to look around and figure out what can I predictably take a risk on and take a reasonable risk on. Where should I invest? Should I partner with this firm? Should I expand in this way or that way? We need stability for that. That's partly why you saw Maggie brought up the attacks on the chair of the Federal Reserve, because that undermines stability. And actually, when you have some stable financial systems and markets and some predictability, people can do great things. But when you don't, it's the completely rational thing to do to be paralyzed, like you said, Tom. Do I see anything from the administration that might mitigate this? Well, I guess once in a while, the right person catches the right person's attention at the right moment. And that is just a terrible way to run an economy and to run economic policy.
Right.
Well, and Indy, you mentioned the right person happens to catch the president's ear. We know, you know, Scott Bessent has been speaking up, raising all kinds of concerns. But you got Peter Navarro talking in his other ear like, oh, yeah, tariffs are the solution. They have not worked well in the United States past, despite the president's selective memory on that. In fact, helped exacerbate the Great Depression. And we had to have literally the CEOs of, what was it, Target, Walmart, two other major retailers in the Oval Office saying, there's going to be a run on our products and store shelves will be bare. Do you want pictures of people in literal bread lines under your administration? And then he relents on the reciprocal tariffs. I want people to realize, and Indy, please correct me if I'm wrong, we haven't yet begun to feel the actual impact of the trade war with China, which just today, which is a tariff war, that's what we mean when we say trade war, 145% tariffs from the U.S. on Chinese imports, China at 125%. Trump and Bessent indicating yesterday, oh, yes, we've got these robust negotiations going on. China puts out a statement today, no, there's zero negotiations going on. We haven't begun to yet feel the pain of that particular, what I'm going to call, brinksmanship. There's no movement. How do they get out of this? And we haven't, again, even felt the pain point yet.
Well, some of us as consumers maybe haven't. But again, if you think about what Tom just laid out about how paralyzed some small businesses feel, You've got a business that makes board games that's bringing forth a legal suit against the Trump administration. You know, this is another really important point. Maggie, you brought up CEOs of major profitable companies having the president's ear. Well, what about somebody who makes board games? What about somebody who runs a bed and breakfast, a B&B, somewhere near the Canadian-US border, right? So this is also just a complete recipe for corruption, for favoritism, for cutting deals left and right. And what here is even the strategy? You can imagine some role. There's always been some tariffs here and there, and it can help when another country's violating environmental protections or labor protections. But what's the strategy here? We're going to exempt electronics from China, which would be advanced manufacturing, potentially decent jobs, and encourage Americans to start making sneakers? Who is asking for this? Who voted for that?
It's so utterly confusing. And thank you so much, Indy, for bringing up the corruption. This is access economics, which is a fancy cleaned up way of saying it's favor trading. Those that have the president's ear, who have donated to him. We've got reports on the $250 million inauguration. Those are the people who he listens to. With the meme coin happening, the potential for people literally to pay to play, to have exemptions for their business to get out of the trade war so that they can continue business is at the highest it has potentially been in literally 100 years in American history. What should we be doing? What should the regular person, all the folks listening right now, Indy, what should we do?
Well, look, let's remember, first of all, that the president isn't all that popular. So there's a lot of scary things happening, especially for immigrants, but also just folks who are in higher ed institutions or work on the climate and environment. But we still have a voice, and people still have the ability to influence both what their members of Congress and senators do, but also, you know, at the state level, right? States can be a bulwark here to both protect our economy and our democracy. And I think the less popular the president is, the more likely that others will kind of, you know, go against his wishes. There are people, like we had a Republican senator from Alaska say she was afraid to speak up against the president, yes. And others are too. That's a terrifying thing to say in a democracy, right? But the less popular he is and the more the people are very clear about its tangible harms that they're experiencing, we haven't even gotten to the forthcoming cuts to Medicaid, SNAP,
right.
Potentially housing assistance, childcare, and the like. But we still have a chance to put some of the worst possibilities out of play. We've prevailed here and there, for example, on Social Security administration when Musk and the Doge team tried to cut phone service, which people, especially in rural areas, really depend on.
Folks, that is Indy Duttagupta. He is the Doris Duke Distinguished Fellow at Georgetown University in the McCourt School of Public Policy. You can find two of his most recent research papers at the website, I want to get this exactly correct, RooseveltInstitute.org, on the care economy and tax policy. Remember this whole tariff thing? Yeah, that's just a way to make working people and the middle class pay way more than our fair share. Tax the rich, y'all. We'll be back in just a moment right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network for some final thoughts. Thank you, Indy. Keep up the good work.